Oh, that's right. We're right here at Sharp Facets Gallery, and I tell you what, I have a most interesting lady with us here today. I have Sandra Johnston. Many of you know her from working with the veterans. She is president for 2 years of the Ladies Auxiliary to the Veterans of Foreign Wars, and she is quite an accomplished person on her own and brings a lot to the veterans right here. And if it probably wasn't for Sandra getting involved, we might not have as active a ladies veterans group as we do now. So welcome to the show today, Sandra.
Thank you, Ann.
It's good to finally sit down and talk to you. I've seen you at many events doing many different things, whether it was bras for a cause.
Yes.
That was a wild one. That picture of Carrie Bolt should be blackmail.
How about Senator Nicholson?
Nicholson, mm-hmm. Yeah, there yes. you go. Some yeah. of those should come back to haunt them someday.
They were marvelous gentlemen. It was so wonderful that they would do that.
Sure.
A lot of men, no way.
Yeah. Well, and some of those designs were so wild. I'm telling you, it was fun to see. That had to be a fun event to put together.
It was. We had 92 different bras. We had local artists do the bras. We had one of the sororities from Lander University do mm-hmm. the bras. We pitched in. It was just great. Just great. We had more fun. And made some money,
which
yeah,
is,
which
of
was
course,
that was the important part.
That's right. And, of course, recently we just had the Hall of Heroes ceremony with
yes.
22 inductees into the Hall of Heroes right here in Greenwood. And one of the things that you did that I thought was so wonderful that I had never really seen performed, had no idea about, was the POW, the Missing
Man Table.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That is... was very, very meaningful in the fact that everything on that table has an importance all the way down to the slice of lemon.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. And I know probably people have seen the article right up in the Index Journal, but what does this slice of lemon have to do with?
It signifies the bitterness of the sorrow of the families and the prisoner.
Sure. And of course, you know, sometimes you didn't even realize some of the people that were prisoners of war.
That's right.
In our community.
Yes.
Hilton Dodgen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you've known these people for years, and I think that's the wonderful thing about the Hall of Heroes is the fact that we get to celebrate everyday people that are right here amongst us that we never knew had done some very heroic things on our behalf.
Exactly.
So
many, many sacrifices made for our freedoms.
Exactly. And many, many families have sacrificed. And sometimes it's the families that we don't always think of. We have a tendency to think of the guys and gals that are over there, mm-hmm. but we forget about the families.
The people left behind, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And you know, sometimes I think, in truth, it probably is easier to be the person on the front, shall we say, at war, than to be the family sitting at home wondering what's going
waiting
on.
Waiting and wondering. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yes. of course, back in the day, whether it was World War II or even Vietnam, we didn't have the connection that they have with family today.
That's right. The guys now in Iraq and Afghanistan can at least Skype home. You can see them or call.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And that makes a big, big difference. So as far as what you, you came here just in the last few years, correct?
Yes, 2006.
2006. Mm-hmm. And how did you all end up in Greenwood?
Well, we started out in Beaufort.
That was nice. What
yes,
happened?
It was.
Why did you end up in Greenwood?
Well, we lived on Dautau Island in Beaufort and found that it was only 7 feet above sea level when Katrina hit.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. So, and the last hurricane to have hit Beaufort was 100 years plus ago. And we thought, this might be a good time to get out of town.
Right.
So we did that. And then also we found out that my husband's illness was terminal, and we wanted a good medical facility for him. And we found Self. And I am very grateful to Self for being able to, with their doctors and nurses and the treatments that he received, they extended his life at least a year longer than expected.
Wow.
So that was great for me.
That was absolutely great. Now, of course, he was in the Vietnam War.
Yes, he was.
And he suffered some of the effects of Agent Orange, I
exactly.
understand.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's something they're still, are they standing behind that with the military?
Yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, they are even finding more diseases now associated with exposure to Agent Orange.
You were telling me your husband had diabetes, and they tied that back to Agent Orange?
Oh, yes. That was one of the first things that they discovered.
That's phenomenal.
Yes,
I didn't think that they were doing that much. But, you know, that's one thing about the military, isn't it? It is always changing with the veterans and their benefits and what they're able to do.
That's right. And one of the reasons is because of the VFW.
Is it?
Oh, yes.
Okay. What does the VFW do?
The national organization has been very instrumental in making sure that veterans... legislation is passed for benefits for veterans, and they're also there to make sure that any benefits denied by Congress are not denied.
Wow.
They've been instrumental in passing almost all the meaningful legislation for veterans in our country.
Well, you know, that is something, particularly what we just went through in the last 2 weeks with the veterans' benefits, their death benefits for those six, I think it was, that came back into the country. That was horrible, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And I just can't imagine why somebody wouldn't have just stepped up and signed the paperwork and put it on through, that we had to go to Ken Fisher to get him to step up. Does a marvelous job and everything, but that should have never happened.
No, it shouldn't. It absolutely should not. These men and women have guarded our freedoms. They were on the line that now lets us live the life we're living today. There were many, many sacrifices made. The worst part, I guess, to me was the fact that the cemeteries were closed.
Yeah.
My husband is buried at Arlington, and I thought if I were denied to go there to see his grave because of politics,
right,
I'm very upset.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things, I went on an honor flight, and I had never been to Arlington, but you go to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier, and then, of course, you see Arlington. You know, you can see it all you want on TV. It is just not the same as seeing the miles after miles of markers and everything. It just really is meaningful when you actually see it in person.
I remember the first time we took my husband's granddaughter there. She was 12. And she was driving in the car. We were driving in the car. And to get to, actually, my husband's father and mother buried there also. And she glanced out the car window and she said, "Are all those dead people?" And yes. "Are they all dead soldiers?" "Yes." "Oh, my," she said. It was like you could just see the realization hitting her.
Exactly.
That all these people were there. They had died. They had died, many of them in combat.
Exactly. And for the freedoms and everything that we enjoy, and to see the World War II monument gated off so that nobody could go in, and then on Sunday to see the park ranger standing there welcoming each one of them after they tore down the gates, that he was standing there welcoming them. It just seems like stuff like this just shouldn't happen in our country today.
No, you're absolutely right.
And I am so glad that they had that march and took all those fencing down. The only thing I haven't found out, have they put the fencing back up?
I don't know.
But it wouldn't surprise me.
No. Haven't been home all day. Been volunteering at the library.
Exactly. But our veterans are very special people, and they need to be treated most specially. And it is great that we have an organization like the Veterans of Foreign Wars, the Ladies Auxiliary, doing this type of activity to make sure that we are reminded of this. Because people, when they get involved in everyday life, we have a tendency to forget.
Exactly. So, yes, you're right.
So we're going to be talking more about what Sandra does with the Veterans Organization, the Veterans of Foreign War. She is the president over there. We're going to talk about some of the things that have just happened, some of the things coming up, and we certainly hope you will stay right with us right here on WCRS. But right now we're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here. Sharp Facets Gallery do want you to know that Sandra and I, of course, have just been talking about the fence up there. And our good friend Kay Dowling called in this afternoon.
Okay.
Hello, Kay. We're glad you're listening. And she told us that they did put the fence back up around the monument. I cannot believe this. And they now have people standing there guarding it, which is actually costing more money to have this going on. So, obviously... they're not understanding how fervently our people feel about our veterans and our monuments, particularly an open-air monument that was not built, I believe, with taxpayer money. It was not built, was it? The World War II monument was built by...
private donations.
Private donations. Mm-hmm. So why should the government be doing this? We do not understand. But... we understand that y'all are upset out there. I'm upset, too. We got a lot to talk about here this afternoon. If you want to call, don't hesitate to call, though, and give us your opinion. Hey, that's great. 229-7984. That's 229-7984. But, Sandra, I understand that you got a degree in nursing.
Yes.
But you didn't have any idea what nursing was about. How did this happen?
I was raised in rural Pennsylvania. My father was a steelworker, and going to college for me at the time was out of the question financially. So I had a choice between being a secretary, a nurse, or a wife. And the secretarial part didn't appeal at all. The wife part definitely did not appeal at that time at all. And so I chose to go to nursing school, and at that time it was a 3-year program, hospital program. I had no idea what I was getting into.
That's kind of scary, isn't it?
It was. But I knew that I needed to get out of Fellsburg, Pennsylvania.
Right.
So fortunately for me, when I got there, I loved it.
Wow.
I was absolutely fascinated with everything that I had to do. And we did a lot of everything.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Now, what did you want to be, though, before you decided to go into nursing?
Well, Anne, I wanted to be a radio announcer. Just
like
you.
How about that? Pretty neat.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it didn't work out for that, but you did go on and become a nurse and had some, I'm sure, some fabulous experiences. Now, how did you meet your husband?
I met my husband in a little theater group.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I went to a performance at a Unitarian church, and he was in the play, and I thought, oh, my goodness, isn't that a handsome man?
So I guess you waited backstage for him afterwards, huh?
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that, okay, and the story
Well, actually,
continues.
I joined the little theater group.
That was one way to get in there. Exactly. Well, that's pretty cool. Now, your husband was in the Vietnam War, but you met him after.
Yes.
That's
yes,
right.
Yes, I did.
So
mm-hmm.
you weren't, of course, part of that. But, you know, when we look at how our veterans are treated today and how they were back in Vietnam, it really is amazing that it's taken that bad treatment of our Vietnam vets to get to the good treatment today of our veterans and the thank you and the participation that individuals play with our veterans now.
I'd like to tell you a little story about my husband's experience. When he finished his tour, he was shipped to California from Vietnam mm-hmm. to make his way back home to Maryland. And he had his uniform on because that's the way they had to travel.
Sure.
When he hit the airport in California, he was harassed. He was called a baby killer. He was called all those terrible things that the Vietnam vets, some of them, experienced. He went into the restroom. He took off his uniform. He had a pair of sweatpants or old jeans or something and a T-shirt. He threw the uniform away.
See, that's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
That is horrible.
Yeah.
And to be made to feel that bad. But we know those stories, and we've heard many of those stories. Mm-hmm. But it really brings it home, doesn't it, when
Absolutely.
It's somebody that you know
yes.
that went through
mm-hmm.
this.
And he never talked about his experiences in Vietnam. He did. He talked about the fun stuff, the mischief that the guys got into and the leave that they had and some of the things,
like that
kind of stuff. But and Chuck was a medic.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So, yes. And he was stationed in a place called An K, which I understand was a site of a lot of fearsome fighting.
Wow. Yeah, we really can't, we can't understand what they went through. I talked to somebody one time, and I said, you know, why won't you guys talk about it? And he said, Anne, unless you were there, unless you were part of it, you're just not going to hear the stuff that you think you want to hear, because it's very private.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. These men become very close. They watch each other's back. That's not just a cliche. Their lives, they hold the lives of each other in their hands. And I know toward the end of my husband's life, he, as I said, he never spoke about his experiences in Vietnam, but he asked me to find a veterans group in Greenwood. We'd never been involved before.
Okay.
And I couldn't figure out what in the world, why? Yeah. And he said, well, I just want to talk to some guys. I want to talk. And I did.
Right.
And I would take him to the meetings in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm. He was, again, that sick. And I'd watch him, and he'd be talking to the, and I tried to listen to some of the conversations, and I couldn't understand them, because it was almost as if they talked in code. They had these numbers of these things, and, you know,
all
different,
the different divisions and all that.
Oh, yeah,
kind of
all
stuff.
Of that. Uh-huh. And he was just
animated.
In his glory, yes. He bought the hat, and he had the ribbons, and he had all these things. He was one of the inductees, you know, in the Hall of Heroes this time.
Yes, I know he was, mm-hmm. yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it is therapeutic, but then there's so many, particularly I think from the Vietnam era, that just have it kind of locked away.
Yes.
And just kind of...
And they suffer for it.
Yes, mm-hmm. I think you're right. So the veterans, so you ended up here, and what made you get involved in the veterans group here? Was it your husband getting into that veterans group?
Yes. Yeah, it was. And the way that I was treated, when he was ill, they came to visit him in the hospital. Mm-hmm. They brought food to our house. And then when he died, they were there for his funeral. Afterwards, they called me. They made visits to me. And I thought, I need to do something with my life. Chuck and I were very close. We had a very, very good relationship. And because of the closeness, we were a bit isolated. And mm-hmm. then he died just 2 years after we got here. And he was sick, very sick, the second year we were here. So I didn't have an opportunity to make very many friends. So I thought, I want to do something meaningful with my life. Being a nurse, I'm a service-oriented person anyway. And I thought, let me go back to the veterans group and see what's happening, what I can do.
How you can get involved.
Yeah, and see some of the people that he talked with before that knew him. So the rest is history.
The rest is history. And she, and so Our Lady's Auxiliary here had actually become dormant. Is that correct?
It was. They had meetings and whatever, but they weren't really doing very much in the community. It was more of a support group within themselves.
And, of course, when we got the new veterans building, the old library, that really had to have become almost the catalyst to make things really happen.
That helped. That helped. Before that, we had been meeting in the Turner House mm-hmm. with the on the Presbyterian Church property. Yes, we really got together and did remarkable things there. Anybody who's ever been to the basement of the old library, come on down and look at it now.
It's totally different.
Totally different.
I mean,
totally
you wouldn't different. Even believe it was the same building. It's clean. Mm-hmm. It's been painted. Mm-hmm. It's just a new carpet in the building. Mm-hmm. It just, it looks like a totally different place. It would be hard to remember that that was a library now, wouldn't it, Sandra? Oh,
yeah, it certainly would be.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Although we do have pictures.
Yeah.
We did the befores and the afters.
The afters, yeah. Right. But, you know, and we've got to give, I think, all of the veterans groups in there have really gotten together and pulled together. But I understand Carrie Bolt was the one that kind of spearheaded this thing and made it come together.
Carrie has done wonderful things for our veterans. He certainly has. And he still is. He's
yes.
still doing things. We're starting a museum now, not the VFW,
right.
but
Hall
of Heroes Museum, exactly. And Carol Scales is head of that committee.
Carol's a wonderful person.
Yes, she is. She's a real corker, isn't she?
She's a real corker. I like that, yeah. I think she would like that, actually.
Well, Carol and I know each other. So.
Yeah, that's cool.
But yes, the museum is scheduled to open on the 11th of November. Is that
or is it the 10th?
10th. 10th. I'm sorry, you're right.
It's on a Sunday, 10th. Isn't it?
The 11th is the official Veterans Day, but it's a Sunday, yes, and that's the same day we're having the Veterans Parade, which will start at 3 o'clock.
Absolutely. Well, we're going to talk all about all the events upcoming, all the good things happening there. I certainly hope you'll stay right with us right here on WCRS. Right now, it's time for the news. Hey, give us a call if you got a question or a comment that we can put on the air. 229-7984.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery, talking about Vietnam veterans and what all they have gone through and are still out there serving our country in many, many different ways. And, you know, one of the things we always like to say is thank you to all our veterans for all the things you've done for us and continue to do for us. You know, that ceremony that we had for the Hall of Heroes, what a great cross-section of people in that. I mean, we had Korean veterans, we had POWs, we had some from Afghanistan. I mean, there was every group.
World War II
was also there. So it is amazing how many generations we have right here in our area. And someone brought up a very good point to me. Actually, I think it was Carol Scales, that for many areas of the country, all they have is World War I, World War II. We go all the way back to the Revolution.
Yes, yes, we do.
South Carolina.
We've covered it all.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And for those of you that don't know, the museum, they are looking for donations. And every Thursday afternoon, they are down there. Mm-hmm. Taking in donations for the Hall of Heroes Museum. Like you said, Sandra, they are going to open it up on Sunday, November 10th. And, of course, that's the same day as the parade. So let's talk about some of the things that are coming up or things that y'all are working on. First off, I just want to say, hey, it sounds like you did really well with your bridge.
Yes, we did. Yes. Oh, it was a wonderful day. Wonderful day. And we not only had bridge players, we had triominoes, we had mahjong, we had one other thing. Oh, Mexican train.
Mexican train. See, mm-hmm. You're talking a foreign language to me. I don't even know. I know bridge. I've played bridge before. Oh, used to play that in college and certainly enjoyed that. But and you had the gal that was here from, was she from Seneca?
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Miss Calicott.
Yes.
Is that right?
98 years old.
Yes.
And it was her birthday.
How fun is that?
Oh, goodness. And she was beautiful. She was just a wonderful, wonderful woman. Sharp as a tack. She had a great time.
That's,
we did too with
that's
her.
That's terrific. And how much money did you raise? Roughly,
we're probably going to clear about $1,200. We had a lot of. We were fortunate to get a lot of financial donations.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's great. And what will you be putting the money towards?
Half the money will be going to our Cancer Aid and Research Program, and the other half will be going to Veterans and Family Services.
Now, what is Veterans and Family Services? What do you do?
Well, locally, we, for instance, we have a homeless shelter here in town, the Kynard House, mm-hmm. and it houses honorably discharged veterans who are homeless. They go through some counseling and job training. Mm-hmm. They go out and find jobs, and then once they're on their feet financially, they go and get housing, mm-hmm. and when they graduate, as we call it, we fix them a basket, a housewarming basket.
That's nice.
And we take a large laundry basket, mm-hmm. and we put in sheets and towels and pillowcases and pillows and a comforter, dishes, tableware, paper towels, even toilet paper.
Wow.
Just so they can get started in their new home.
All the things that you need that you don't always, and guys particularly may not think of.
That's right. That's right. But it does. It's expensive. The baskets can cost about $150 to put together.
Wow.
So if there are any church groups out there, yes. circles.
Yes.
Or Boy Scout or Girl Scout troops who would like to donate some of the equipment that we put in the basket, we would be very, very grateful.
Well, you'll have to leave me a list, and I will
just
talk about it. I figured you might.
Just happened to
This is a woman that came to this show totally organized, folks. But I'll talk about that on my radio shows and see how we can get you some help to get those together. That would be great.
Good.
Now, other things that y'all do with the veterans, the Ladies Auxiliary.
Well, when we find out that one of our veterans' families, veteran or the family, has a illness in the family, we bring meals to them. Small things like that that we do. We attend funerals. Mm-hmm. One of the things also that our chaplain is doing now is whenever a veteran comes to the hospice house calls us, and she goes over there, and she presents the family with a flag.
Oh, very nice.
And a little note from us, and we'll also, if they care to, do prayers with her.
Wow.
So we have had about, we're getting close to 30 veterans now that we've presented flags to families.
That's really nice. You know, the flag in today's, you know, I don't know how our young people are. How do you think our young people are as far as patriotism and caring about our veterans and whatnot? What do you think?
I'm afraid that things are sadly lacking in that department.
Yeah. I'm very concerned about the fact that, they don't actually have civics anymore.
No.
They have, somebody told me, government econ. But that's not the same as civics, I don't think.
No, they don't get the basics of how our country's organized.
Right.
And some of them we've run across don't even know the Pledge to the Flag, which...
That is unbelievable.
So that's another one of the things that we do.
What do you do?
We take those programs into our schools. We talk about the Constitution. We talk about the flag. I think it's November. I don't know the right date. I'm sorry. I'm going to Rice Elementary School for the PTO meeting, and we're going to do flag folding and talk about what each of the folds of the flag mean. There are 13 folds to our flag when it's put in that tri-corner look.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to do the Pledge to the Flag. And maybe even sing the national anthem, which is another thing a lot of people don't know the words to. So we're gonna get to that elementary school, and each one of those kids is gonna go home with a flag too.
You know, when I was on the honor flight, one of the parts that I know the veterans enjoyed so much was when we went to go into the World War II Memorial, that there was a line of kindergarten and maybe first graders there with flags that were singing and thanking them and this type of thing. It was really awesome. It really touched your heart. Mm-hmm. And then within the monument, at the World War II monument, I was surprised how many, junior high to high school students came over to a veteran, shook their hand, and said, thank you for your service.
Oh, wonderful.
It was wonderful, and mm-hmm. it was very surprising because just out of the blue, they would just walk up mm-hmm. and say this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it could have been orchestrated. I think it just had to have been something that they just did. And it does make you feel good, but you do worry about where our country is going from the standpoint of the pride and understanding. You know, one of the things about South Carolina, we are very military-oriented, I
yes.
will say.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think every state in the Union is that way.
I don't think so either.
And having been from Maine, I don't remember the patriotism that you feel here mm-hmm. that I ever felt that in Maine. And, of course, I actually was growing up during the Vietnam War, and I don't remember the same feeling that we have when a group of active duty military comes back
mm-hmm.
or when a group goes away, mm-hmm. the response and the outpouring that there is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think... our experience with World War II, the whole country was involved with mm-hmm. that war. With Korea, not so much. When Vietnam came along, the country was divided. And yeah. I think that's the problem.
Yeah.
Or that was the problem. And now I think people have understood that men fight for their country, regardless of what the political situation is.
This is true.
And women. Excuse me for forgetting our, our female veterans.
Absolutely. Well, we are here with Sandra Johnston. She is the president of the Ladies Auxiliary for the Veterans of Foreign Wars. We're going to hear a quick word from our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to be talking more about what's going on, how you can get involved, how you can help out. So why don't you stay right with us right here on WCRS. How about if you've got a question or a comment, give us a call, 229-7984. That's 229-7984. We'll be right back.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276. Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. My very special guest today is Sandra Johnston. She is the president of the Ladies Auxiliary for the Veterans of Foreign Wars. Now, why is it called the Veterans of Foreign Wars, just out of curiosity?
Because that's who we are. That's part of the membership obligation or eligibility, actually, that the service member must have been in a combat area on foreign soil.
Yeah, so far we haven't started fighting each other.
No, but thank goodness for that.
Yes, exactly.
Well, I don't know. We've been taking some of these phone calls. And
it could be a problem.
It could be a problem.
But that's why it's called, because every war that we've fought has been on foreign soil.
Yes, but not all of our veterans have been there.
Right.
So that's it was formed to actually. To provide benefits for the people who were coming back from combat, mm-hmm. who had no access to hospitals, to pensions, to any kind of disability.
How long is Veterans of Foreign Wars as an organization? Do you have any idea?
I know the Ladies Auxiliary has been in existence for 100 years, so the VFW has probably another 20 years before that.
Wow.
In fact, we're celebrating our 100th birthday on September of next year.
How about that?
Yeah.
Oh, pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. You want to come to the party?
Absolutely.
Okay,
absolutely.
We're going to have a big one. It's going to be a big celebration.
Absolutely. That sounds mm-hmm. terrific. But so as far as helping out and doing things, you said you wanted to talk a little bit more about the honor flights. What can you tell
yes.
us?
Yes. Well, we participated in the homecoming for one of the honor flights. And as
at
each,
Greenville or
at
Columbia?
Greenville.
Okay.
Greenville. Mm-hmm. And as each veteran came off the plane or came down the ramp right. there, we presented them with this coin.
Yes. Oh.
And it's a coin that we give any veteran.
To the Veterans of Foreign Wars. Very mm-hmm. nice. We thank you for your service and pray for your continued safety. That's
yes.
very nice. Very, very nice. And
we're presenting that to you.
To me?
Yes,
well,
you're on the front lines right here.
Thank you very much, Sandra.
You're a combat veteran.
Wow, thank you very much. Sometimes I feel like a combat veteran, even though I've never done that, but I sometimes do.
Actually, you need to give that to your husband. I should have given it to him.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. I will.
Vietnam vet.
But when we were there in Washington, D.C., they were playing 1940s music.
Oh,
the gals
yeah.
were dancing mm-hmm. with the guys. And the guys that couldn't stand that were in wheelchairs, no problem. The gals were dancing with them and mm-hmm. having a great time. Mm-hmm. And it was so amazing to see the outpouring of people that came to when they knew an honor flight was coming in. Throngs of people were there to thank mm-hmm. the vets for their services. They came off the plane, mm-hmm. and then, of course, we got on the bus. You couldn't want for anything on these trips. I mean, they were right there. Did you need a water? They had snacks, just a fabulous treatment and mm-hmm. everything. And then when we came back, we actually flew out of Columbia. When we yeah. came back into Columbia, what a ceremony they had there for the vets. And, one of the things Carrie always told me, and I found it to be true, that when he would be taking a group of vets down to Columbia or something, they all sat a little taller and they all perked up and really mm-hmm. were like they were school-age guys. Mm-hmm. Well, that was the same thing I saw in the honor flights.
Yeah.
The guys were just like, they weren't 75 or 80 years of age. They were 30.
Exactly. Yep. In their minds, they were. Yes,
yes they were. And yes. they were animated and
uh-huh.
excited.
Yes.
And it was great to see.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's what the veterans organizations do for guys here, don't they?
Oh, absolutely. And that's one of the things those coins do. I've passed them out all over town, not just...
Right.
I see a gentleman, say, in Lowe's with a cap on, and it'll say whatever, and I'll go up to him and ask him if that's where he served, and he said yes, and I'll shake hands with him and leave the coin in his hand. And that's part of a military tradition, I understand, that they have these, what they call challenge coins, and things happen in the various clubs or whatever with these coins. And when I leave them, they don't look at the coin immediately, but I peek over my shoulder, and they look down, and they see what it is, and they get this big grin on their faces.
And they stand a little
taller. Yeah, and it makes me feel so warm inside.
It does. Mm-hmm. It does. And that's what you saw at the Hall of Heroes for the guys and gal that were inducted into that. You could see the guys standing a little taller as they went across that mm-hmm. stage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Memories flooding into their minds, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, what else can you tell us that you'd like us to know about the Veterans of Foreign Wars, the Ladies Auxiliary?
Well, let's see. We have an awful lot of different programs mm-hmm. going. We have, we've already talked a little bit about Veterans and Family Services. We have some scholarship programs that I'm very excited.
Scholarships?
Oh, yes. We have money for scholarships.
How about that?
Mm-hmm. One is called the Alice Hutto Scholarship, and it's was named after one of the past presidents of the state organization.
Mm-hmm.
It's a nursing scholarship.
Wow.
And you have to have completed your first semester in nursing school. And you have to have a 3.0 average, and you have to have a letter of endorsement by one of your instructors, probably your favorite one.
Would be good.
Yes. And you can, if you are chosen, you have to write a small essay as to why you became a nurse. Thank goodness I didn't apply for that one, because I couldn't explain why I became a nurse. But
choice number three.
Choice number three.
Sandra.
That's me.
Okay.
But you can win a $1,000 scholarship.
That's terrific.
Mm-hmm.
That's terrific.
And then,
now, is there an open time? I mean, when do they get to apply for this? Any particular time?
Well, they can apply now for next year because I think the cutoff date right now. Well, they could apply now. The cutoff date is the 1st of November.
Wow.
But unfortunately, we got here a little too late. We've advertised it a little bit.
Okay.
There's two more. One's called Patriot's Pen, and the other one is... Voice of Democracy, and then these two also, the deadline will be November 1st. But Patriot's Pen is for grades 6 through 8,
mm-hmm.
and it's an essay contest. And these young people can win up to $5,000.
Wow.
Now, this one is the Voice of Democracy, and it's, first of all, the theme, there's a theme for each one of these. For Patriot's Pen is What Patriotism Means to Me.
Mm-hmm.
And on Voice of Democracy, it's why I'm optimistic about our nation's future, which I think is a very timely topic right now.
Absolutely, it is.
It's for grades 9 through 12, and these people record their speech.
How about that?
And then they're judged. We have had two winners from South Carolina within the last 4 years, and they each have won $30,000 scholarships.
You know, Sandra, next year, because we're too close to November 1st, but next year, I think the radio should be involved in that because that's something they have to record, and maybe we can help promote that and get them a good recording, and let's do it upright out of Greenwood.
That would be fantastic.
Wouldn't that be great?
Oh, yes, indeed.
Okay. Well, let's do that next year.
You're on.
You're on. I figured I would be.
Yes, indeed.
But that sounds like
wonderful.
A great one. Yeah.
Yes.
And maybe we can provide some winners. $30,000, that's definitely
From Greenwood. We can do it.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That sounds terrific. We're on for that one. We'll work on that for next year. Sounds great.
Okay.
All right. Other things that we've only got a few minutes left. What else would you like to get out there?
I want to talk a little bit about our hospital program. I told you a little bit about hospice. But we have one of our ladies, Dolores Satterfield, is a driver for a van mm-hmm. that goes from Greenwood to Augusta.
They were just looking for drivers for the, weren't they? Yes.
Yes. Because okay. one of the drivers is retiring now, Fred Malone. Yeah.
Right.
So she logs in about 1,000 miles a month
wow.
or more because she has to go around and pick up all the different people,
mm-hmm.
take them down to Augusta, get them to wherever mm-hmm. they have to be, stays with them all day long, brings them back, takes them all back home again. And
wow.
she does this 2 and 3 times a week. She's a phenomenal lady. She's
really
something. One of our
you know, it makes you wonder why people do stuff like that, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it does.
No, well, driving anyway.
But. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, any type of service where somebody commits mm-hmm. to do these things, you really have to take your hats off to them and yeah. say thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And even that isn't enough. But that's what we can do is to say thank you.
Mm-hmm. There's one more thing I'd like to talk about, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Put a little plug in again.
Sure.
We're having a craft fair at the end of the month, the last Saturday, which is the 26th, I believe, at the Veterans Center.
Okay.
And we have a lot of local vendors that will be displaying their wares and hoping that you'll come and buy them all. We have a hot dog supper going on downstairs in the meeting hall, and there's also going to be a bake sale down there.
Oh, the good stuff down there.
The good stuff down there. And some of that money will be going toward the, you know, the Hall of Heroes and the museum are incorporated.
Right.
So some part of that money will be going to that corporation to provide funds to keep things going there for the Hall of Heroes and the museum.
Sure. And they also have become a 501c, and they're going to be able to start selling the bricks.
The pavers.
The pavers, yes.
Yes, yes. Beautiful, beautiful granite pavers, not brick.
Yes.
They are beautiful. If you want to see one of them, or three of them, actually, they are at the Veterans Services offices, and they have my husband's name on them, which is...
I saw them at the Hall of Heroes at the ceremony. Weren't they there?
Yes.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
You're right. Yeah.
Yes.
That's terrific. And, of course, people will be able to buy these pavers.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they're not priced yet, so don't call in at this.
Okay.
Or don't call them
but
yet.
Somebody, as soon as you get it, because I know people are waiting for this, let mm-hmm. me know, and I'll be sure to get the word
I've
out
I've already
there.
Bought mine, but
right.
it's already there.
Yeah, it's
just got his
there.
Name on it.
But they're going to pave that whole area out front.
Yes, and there's going to be it's going to be quite spectacular when we're finished with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lots of good plans for that area.
All right. Well, we are here at WCRS right here in Greenwood. I do want to say a couple more things. Adding the flagpoles out front, wasn't that nice? The Woodmen of the World getting those flagpoles
absolutely.
In there.
Absolutely. You ought to see the kitchen they provided for us downstairs.
I did. I've seen it. Very, very nice.
So grateful to them.
And so many good projects going on there. You got a couple others we'll run
yes,
over here.
Yes, I want to tell you about Buddy Poppies. Do you know about the poppy drive? You've seen the red poppies that
sure.
we put out? A lot of people, though, don't know that we buy those poppies from veterans in hospitals and nursing homes. They make them. They're handmade.
I did not know that.
Not very many people know that.
Okay.
And so when you see us on the street corners or wherever with our little cans, your donations would be very, very much appreciated, because the more poppies we sell, the more poppies we get to buy from those men and women. And that's income for them.
Wow.
It doesn't go to the hospital. It goes directly to those people.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
How
nice
about
things.
That?
And
yes.
So that'll be coming up. We've talked about the Veterans Day Parade. Yeah. There's one other little thing I'd like to talk about. Well, two, actually. Do we have time
sure,
for two?
We're going to run it
okay,
over.
Okay, I'm
Sandra.
Sorry.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
More interesting than the news, isn't it? Yeah, probably.
Well, if you have not seen the textile monument mm-hmm. that the Veterans of Foreign Wars and the Ladies Auxiliary erected to honor the textile workers who worked during World War II to supply material for uniforms and other military items. They 24-hour shifts, 7 days
hard, yeah.
a week. They worked hard. And this monument, we believe, is the only one of its kind in the United States.
And it's right there
It's right there in front of the textile building, which is next to near Howard's,
right.
And next to the War Memorial.
Exactly.
So I wanted to get that. And we had a rededication of it last year for its 25th anniversary. Yep.
And, of course, the parade is coming up. Now, you'd like everybody to get involved in the parade.
Oh, please, yes. If you've got a old vehicle, or if you are a Boy Scout troop, Girl Scout troop, Boys Club, Girls Club, any of those organizations, any of the civic organizations, Kiwanis, Lions, whomever, please.
We need a big show this year.
We need a big show this year, absolutely, especially since we're opening up the museum.
Yes.
And we want everybody back there for a reception.
Who's in charge? Let's see. Are you helping get this parade going?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, okay.
Yes, I'm part
now,
of the coalition.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's your telephone number if people want to call you, Sandra?
Here we go.
Okay.
864-223-5266.
Okay. 8223-5266 right here in Greenwood.
Yes, and Fred Malone is also he's the real organizer of the parade, but I don't have his number, unfortunately.
Do you know Fred sat next to me at the Hall of Heroes ceremony?
Did he?
Yeah, he held one of my recorders for me through most of the ceremony.
He is a wonderful man.
He
and
is.
You know what? He can fit in his original uniform still.
That's right. That's right. It's pretty amazing those guys that can, let me tell you.
He's the one, if you've been to our Memorial Day services out at Oak Brook Cemetery, he's the one who rings the bell when we announce the names of all the deceased members of that year.
You know, it really must, since your husband has passed, to have this support group and this organization that you work to must keep you close to your husband.
Yes, it does, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I bet that does.
I hear him saying, Sandra, slow down.
Well, Sandra, we're real glad you came out here today. We're also real glad that you took over to become the president and bring this organization back to life. How many members do you have right now?
56. We inducted 4 new ones last night.
How about that? Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And of course, to become a member, what do you need to be?
You must be related to a veteran who has served in combat or in a combat area. Mother, your father, grandfather, son.
So any blood relative, I guess.
A blood relative, yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So if you'd like to be part of that, make sure you give Sandra a call. It certainly is a worthwhile organization, and a lot of good feeling comes back out of doing things out of respect for our veterans.
Yes, ma'am.
Absolutely. 223-5266. Sandra Johnston, thanks so much for coming out. We're going to be working with you and talking to you more. So thanks so much.
And it was my pleasure. Thank you very much for your support of our veterans.
Thank you. All right, this is WCRS right here in Greenwood. I think we blew through the news, so thanks so much for listening today. I'll be back in the morning. Bye-bye, everybody.